Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone out. I appreciate that you've come. I hope that you brought your Bibles. And if you would, please turn to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be over there in just a moment. Galatians chapter 5 will be our opening verse today. And before I get started with the lesson, I just wanted to point out that in times of transition, you always have wolves who are looking to harm the flock. Any time that you change from a pen to a pen or from the wilderness to inside, and don't allow Satan to work in your life. This is a period of transition. And Satan is looking to find ways to build cracks, to sow bitterness and to sow division in this congregation. Don't let it happen. Don't let it come by you. We are united, and Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Let's do that. We are all baptized into one Spirit, or we are one group, we are one people. Amen? Amen. All right, this lesson is based on a historical story that, like a lot of historical stories, is not exactly right. And it's interesting to me, you may have heard this phrase used in kind of a motivational speaking kind of way. In fact, if you Google this phrase, that's where most of what you will find. In fact, this photo, this guy would want me to mention his name, DougThorpe.com. I have no idea who that is, but that's where I stole the photo, and I'm trying to give him credit for it. He's a motivational speaker, and the idea is based in an incident that actually did happen in 1519. Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortez had just landed in what we call modern-day Mexico, and he had about 300 to 500 men with him. And he was facing the mighty Aztecs and Montezuma. And his men wanted to go back. In fact, Cortez had been in a dispute with his government authorities, and some of his men wanted to mutiny and go back to where their home base was in Cuba. So to stop them from doing that, Cortez burned their boats. He burned their boats. He probably, more likely historically, sank their boats. But it sounds better and it makes for a better looking picture if you say burned their boats. Either way, why did he do that? Because you can't go back. There's only one way to go, and that's forward. Because you've burned your links, you've burned your boats to the past. Now, Cortez had several things on his side against the Aztecs. Gunpowder. He also had cannons. He was a wily leader, and he had smallpox. And with those three things, he defeated the great Aztec Empire. He started with somewhere between 300 and 500 men and conquered essentially most of what we would call modern-day Mexico. Why? Because his men had no other choice. When you're literally, your back is against the wall, you have to come out fighting for your life. There's a great old phrase that says, necessity is the mother of invention. Well, in Cortez's case, desperation was the mother of victory. We as Christians do the same thing. If you listen to Brother David read from Romans chapter 6, our baptism, and that's what's being referred to there, is a death to sin. It is a putting away of the flesh. It is a burning of our boats. If I am to be a successful Christian, I cannot linger in the past. I cannot stay in sin. I can't flirt with those sinful things anymore. I have to draw a line, cut loose, and turn. It's difficult, but it is necessary. Because Christianity is difficult, but Christianity is of utmost importance. Well, Brother David was talking about Romans chapter 6. If we do this, we'll get to heaven. Well, that's correct. If we don't, we endanger our ability to get to heaven. Because the past will always be saying, come back to the safe port. Sin works for us, right? As sinners, I talk a lot about this for me. I used to smoke cigarettes and curse as a young Christian. But let me tell you what. The reason that's hard to give up is cigarettes worked for me. When I drove, I drove at one time from Charlotte to Waverly every day to work. If you've ever smoked, that's a hard thing. It's because what do? You're in the car by yourself. You smoke to kill time. Trying to quit smoking and still driving 45 minutes one way is hard. Cursing worked for me. It was kind of part of my identity. It was part of the rhythm of who I was. I had not let go of those things. To let go of that meant to be, can I make my life work? Can I be happy without these crutches? Well, the only way to do that is to burn your boat and get past it. We refer to this as Christians as crucifying the flesh. And that's why I have you in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 22. Here Paul is talking about the different sins of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And the only way we can have the fruit of the Spirit is to get rid of those works of the flesh. So after listing the works of the flesh, he talks here in a familiar verse about the fruits of the Spirit, the things that happen when we let the Holy Spirit of God take control of our life and our heart. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and I tell you about this passage, this is an identifier. This is a wanted poster. I don't know if people know what wanted posters anymore are. Used to, you would go into the post office, and you would have a picture there of the FBI's most wanted people. And you would take that picture, and you would say, well, does Scott Ford look like Helter Skelter? Does he look like Charles Manson or whoever the criminal of the day is? And I would hold that picture up and go, well, no, that's Scott. That's not this guy. Or yes, it is, and we need to arrest him. This passage is a wanted poster of Christians. When people think of me, when people think of you, when people think of people that we know, are these the words that come to mind? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now here is the point for our lesson today. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Put it to death. Put it behind us. Said to those things, I will no longer be controlled by those. I will leave my life of sin. I will turn. We call that repentance. I will turn toward Christ, and Christ is sinless, as we talked about in our Lord's Supper talk today. So Christ is sinless. Christ is all these things. Am I more like Christ? Romans chapter 8 tells me if I don't have the Spirit of Christ, I'm not His. Those items, those things that grow out of me having the Spirit of Christ, those things that bloom in my life, they are just fruits that show what my heart is really like. Am I converted? Well, to be converted, I have to cut my ties with those earthly things. Take a look for just a moment, and we're going to be back in Galatians, so hold a finger there. Let me just warn you of that. We'll be back in Galatians. But I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 19. I actually was going to use this verse in relationship to Lot's wife, but this phrase about Lot I had overlooked, and it just popped out at me like a neon light. Genesis chapter 19, for those of you who don't know the story, Lot is the nephew of Abraham. They have so many flocks that they split and go in different ways. And Lot chooses to go to a sinful place. Sodom, you may have heard of it, and Gomorrah. So when he goes to this sinful place, it's awful, it's terrible. In fact, the people of the city there try to rape the angels that come to the door of Lot. It's just the worst possible place imaginable. And we think of Lot's wife. When I say Lot's wife, I guarantee you what comes to your mind is she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. Well, so did Lot. And Lot endangered himself by lingering. When I become a Christian, I don't need to linger in sin anymore. I need to turn from it and I need to run. Let's read verses 15 through 17. Genesis chapter 19, we'll read verses 15 through 17. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he lingered. Now, there's divine intervention that's about to happen here. But let's just imagine for a moment that Lot was not forcibly yanked out by angels. What would have happened to him? He would have been destroyed, he and his whole family. Sin destroys. God will destroy me if I continue to wallow in sin. But he lingered. So the men, and we know this from the context, these men are angels. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. There are not many times in recorded history that God has messengers physically pick us up and carry us out. I wouldn't rely on that. So what I would recommend to you is don't linger. Don't linger and stay. This is going to be hard. What I'm about to say to you is going to be difficult. Don't hang around with your sinful friends. I'm not saying you don't have to know their name. I'm not saying you have to put their number out of your phone. But let me tell you something. If the majority of your time is spent with sinful people, you're lingering in the wrong place. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we talk about changing our playmates, places, and playthings. You know why? Because you can't crucify your addiction. You can't get rid of it unless you change. Because if I linger, if I've got that opportunity to go back to that safe harbor, if I'm continuing to remember, well, this life over here is comfortable. This life worked for me for a while. I enjoyed that. Lightning didn't strike me dead for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Why can't I linger over here for a while? If you're wondering why you're not growing spiritually, it may be because you've not burned the ties to your sinful past. Is it difficult? I'm sure Hernan Cortez's men standing on the seashore thought this was a crazy thing until they defeated the Aztecs. Our congregation is here to defeat evil. We are the Lord's army in Clarksville, Tennessee. We are to grow and to convert and to overcome. We have to get rid of sin in our life. If your friends are engaged in sinful behavior, you must burn that ship. We cannot linger at the party anymore. You can't cover up for your buddy when he cheats on his wife. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. All of those things that are sinful that I leave in my life, that I don't burn, that I don't crucify, are things that can take me back to the safe harbor where Satan wants us to be, not out on the road to victory. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I told you we'd go back there. We used to sing this as a little song when we had VBSs. I can't sing it. I particularly can't do it very well. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, in other words, I can't escape my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Maybe the problem with my living like Christ is I haven't crucified me. I haven't crucified my flesh. What in my life am I holding on to that's sinful? When I take the Lord's Supper, that's what runs through my mind. I examine myself. I ask myself, am I living in sin that is just rebellious and I know it's wrong and I'm taking the Lord's blood anyway? It convicts me. So we have to crucify our flesh, but that's not the end of the story. We need to walk by faith to an unseen city. Tenochtitlan. I'm sure I'm saying that incorrectly. Tenochtitlan. This was the golden city of Mexico. The conquistadors were always seeking gold. If there was any one place in this new world that was a city of gold, it was Tenochtitlan, ruled by Montezuma. And for these men, they had never seen it. They had never actually seen this place. They had heard about it. They had told that it was there, but they had never seen it. But once Cortez burned their boats, they had to have faith that that city of gold was out there, and they marched, and they marched, and they marched, and they entered that city. So if I want to head toward the New Jerusalem, I need to crucify my flesh and walk by faith. The genesis of this lesson came from our Bible study recently about Abraham. Turn over there, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. And by the way, this is another one of these deals where you need to keep a thumb in Hebrews 11, because we're going to go to it, we're going to go away and come back. Look at what Abraham did. Abraham left a country where he was home and went to a land he'd never seen. And he could have gone back. In fact, a lot of his relatives didn't make it all the way to the land of Canaan. They got to Haran, and they were satisfied. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, tells us about Abraham and his faith to march to a city. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, look at this phrase, not knowing where he was going. He couldn't Google pictures of Canaan. He couldn't Google the real estate of the area. He couldn't find out if they had good Wi-Fi. He couldn't find out if there was a church there. He couldn't do any of the things that we do. He was going, he might as well have been going to Mars. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. When I cut my ties to the sinful world, I can begin to look at the eternal one. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. The city where I am is not where I want to be. I mean, I love y'all, and I love Clarksville, Tennessee, and I love my home here in this church. This is not the end for me. Heaven is my home. The city I've never seen. That is to where I walk in faith. The city of gold is clear as glass. Where gold is the pavement. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And again, hold a thumb in Hebrews 11. We're coming back there. But Philippians chapter 2, verses... Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible. It says so much. There's a whole... I will not give you all the sermon that is here. But it talks about the fact... You think about Hebrews chapter 12, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Where is Jesus? Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. Ever been there? Nope. Ever seen it? Nope. Going? I am. Walking by faith to the city of gold. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, where is Jesus? We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. If I crucify the flesh, it's a lot easier to look forward. It's a lot easier to march to that golden city if I don't have a place to go back to. If I have a place to go back to, I might slip off from Cortez's leadership and find my way to Cuba where there aren't these strange people trying to kill me. But I'll never make it to the city of gold. I'll never make it home. Don't be satisfied with the pleasures of this world. The pleasures of this world, whatever you're serving, ask yourself this: will it get me to heaven? Covetousness is idolatry. Things is idolatry. Is the thing that I'm serving here today, whatever it is that takes up my time, whatever it is that draws me away from preaching the gospel, whatever it is that draws me away from worship service to God, whatever that thing is, it better get me to heaven. And if it won't, I need to burn it down. When you have something great to look forward to, you never look back to the old country. We're going to be with God. We're going to see His face. We're going to be with Jesus. We are literally going to walk by the Spirit. Why would I want to go back? So if I've crucified the flesh and I'm walking by faith, then I become a sojourner and an alien here in this world. And again, I mentioned that Abraham was the source of the lesson, and you're going to find out why in just a moment. A sojourner has no place to call his own. No possessions to tie him, and that's key, because what sin does is it ties me to the world. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, "A man thinks he is making his way in the world, when in reality the world is making its way into him." The world ties us to things that are not God. They keep us afraid. They keep us from having the courage to crucify the flesh and to live in a spiritual way and to live in love and joy and peace and meekness and peacemaking and righteousness and hungering and thirsting. Those things are not normal for human beings. They are divine. They are spiritually discerned. They are where we should be as Christians. Aliens are not from here. You know why I can tell you that? Because the only alien I've ever seen on screen, you know what he constantly said? E.T. phone home. That's a little bit of a joke for old people who know movies. But he was an alien, so where he was not home. Where did he long to be? We don't know where that bicycle went to when it took off. But E.T. went home. He wasn't home here. And he knew it. He was an alien. Abraham was a sojourner. He knew that was not his home. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. If we know this, it'll change who we are and what we live like. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. "So if I've crucified the flesh, I've burned my boat, I'm walking in faith toward the city, I realize that this world is not my home, that this earth is not where I want to be, I'm looking forward to a city that has foundations like Abraham, then I'm not going to go back and I'm going to live differently." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Different. People knew E.T. was not from here. They put all those dolls around him in the closet. You could tell that dude wasn't from here. People in our lives should realize they're not from here, because we're different. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. We'll read through verse 11. Describes what it means to live as a sojourner. "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." We look to the end of time and we say like John, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." You know, people talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Second coming of Jesus Christ comes all the time. Now hang on, settle down. When a person dies, the judgment day has come for him. If the Lord doesn't come first and I die, then to me, that's the second coming. That's the judgment day. It is appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. Once I die, I can't change anything. So every time we hear of someone dying, in essence, that is the second coming. For them, it is the judgment day. So with that in mind, this is what Peter says, "With that in mind, how should I live?" Verse 8. "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." It's another identifier verse, by the way. "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever." Amen? Amen. I mentioned Hebrews chapter 11. This is the verse that started this lesson, and I'll end there. Because Abraham could have gone back. The story of Hebrews chapter 11 is the story of all these great men and women of faith who looked forward, who never got to meet Jesus, who never got to see the church. For them, they never had a great high priest like Melchizedek. They never had their hope anchored to the throne of heaven. That's the whole book of Hebrews, is all the things that we have that they did not. So as Abraham walks toward this city he will never see, he did so in faith. And he never went back. Did that ever occur to you? He never even went back to Haran. He never went back to Ur of the Chaldees. He was a sojourner and an alien. He was ethnically different than the people of Canaan. He looked different. He was different. He acted different. What, can that be said of us? Do people look at us and they go, that's a sojourner here, that's an alien here? Or are we turning back? As you get older, you see people who turn back. And in almost every instance, they've left their boats on the shore. They've remained in the world in some way. They listen to the preacher and they go, oh, that preacher's crazy. He says I can't hang out with my drinking buddies no more. What's wrong with him? The Bible don't say nothing about it. I can't ever no drink no drop of alcohol ever. Don't you know nothing about the Bible, preacher man? I've read it. You telling me I can't go hang out with single women all the time? I don't understand that at all. Well, what's wrong? I mean, you know, I told his wife he was with me during the game. Let me tell you something. You're playing with something that's not playing with you. And those things are the flesh. And they call. And the call is strong. And many a man and many a woman is the one who's fallen back in and gotten on that boat and headed back to a city that does not have foundations and where there is no gold. Abraham walked in faith. He is our father of faith. We are to be like Abraham in this regard. Don't look back. Even if you never see it in this life. Abraham sees it now, by the way. Sub-lesson, Jesus said, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. So in Exodus chapter 3, when he tells Moses, I am the God of, not was, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham lives. And Abraham sees. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. We'll close our lesson with this. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. They never made it to Tenochtitlan, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Where am I in that verse? Am I in that verse? For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. The man who walks in faith burns his boats and does not go home. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them a city. I would love to see or to have seen Tenochtitlan in its glory. I'm sure it was one of those, the architecture is still there. These giant pyramids that they built, these wonders of the world. I'd like to go there now, to be honest with you. Much less to have seen it 500 years ago. But it pales in comparison to where I'm going. And I can't get there if I don't burn my boats. I can't get there if I'm led by the flesh. I can't get there unless I cut sin in my life. Bible tells us evil companions corrupt good morals. Who I hang around, what I watch, what I put in my brain, through my ears and my eyes affects me. And it keeps me looking down instead of looking up to the city that has foundations that will never be shaken. Built by God, where I will see His face. Do you long to be in the presence of God as the deer pants for the water? I do. Let's go right now. May the Lord come this hour. Let's go to heaven. If you're not a Christian, and you've never been baptized, when we read Romans chapter 6 and we read Galatians chapter 5 and we read Galatians chapter 2, that reference there is to baptism. Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6 that I go to be with Christ's death. I'm buried into his death. As Christ died, I die. What dies of me is the flesh, the desires of the flesh. I crucify the reign of flesh in my life. And I rise to walk in newness of life. Christ rose and never died again. He has eternal life. You know who else has eternal life? Me. And you, if you have faith, crucify, walk by faith, and live as an alien in this world, will be welcomed home by the Father in the next. If you're not a Christian, we want you to be. If you're a Christian and you've gone back to your boats and you've pushed them out away from the shore and you're no longer headed toward that city, come back now before it is too late. Repent and we will pray with you and for you. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and we sing.